Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson. And today's guest has been married to his wife for 19 years. He is the father of four children. He is a pastor as well, and he has been ordained in the ministry with the Assembly of God for over 25 years and is currently the pastor of Calvary Community Church in Dudley, Massachusetts. He holds a BA in theology from Zion Bible College, North Point Bible College. But in 2019, he went through a time of great healing. He began speaking about the experiences of his past and God's grace and the transformational work of forgiveness in his life. He now speaks about his story through his ministry, Forgiving the Nightmare. And he is also serving his congregation and community through ministry, teaching, and support. And he says, if you can't find him doing those things, you will definitely find him on the trails and lakes in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and upstate New York, spending time with his family. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Pastor Mark Sowersby.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be with you today. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody is excited to hear your story and what prompted the healing that you went through and how what your journey has been like, because you didn't just keep this to yourself. You decided to write a book about it, and we definitely will be talking about that in the interview. But first, let the audience hear your story.
Sure. My story is a story that too many of us have. My story is a story of tragedy, of abuse and sorrow and pain. From the ages of 7 to 14, a man would come into my life and abuse me every day. He would rob from me my dignity, my value, and leave me broken and insecure. He would take a pound of flesh. He would abuse me with his body, with his fists, with his words. He would sell me to others for their lustful pleasures. So for those 7 years of my life was the nightmare that I walked through every day, being abused by this man. Every day having something stolen from me, either physically or emotionally, that he would take from me. And it took me a lifetime to receive the grace I needed to get through this.
Yeah. So you said you were 7 years old, this man that you speak of, because I think this topic is important just to make parents aware. You don't have to say his name, but how did he come into your life? I think this, people will be interested in knowing.
Yeah, like I said, it's so much dysfunction and pain. This man was my mother's husband. And I usually say it that way because he wasn't my stepfather. He was my mother's husband. And my mother would marry a man because of her pain and her hurts in her life. She would allow things to happen that today we look back on and just see the ugliness of it all. But she was my mother's husband, and he came and abused me and started the abuse at 7 and ended at 14 when I was big enough to fight my attacker off. And I found a family member who would believe me and stand up for me.
And so many people would ask the question, well, how did it go on so long and no one knew what was happening?
Well, I think that gets to grooming. You know, there's a lot of grooming that happens when you're in an abusive situation. And when you're a child, you reason like a child. So they tell you it's your fault. They tell you if you tell, everybody will be mad at you. They tell you that everything you do is wrong. And again, it sounds so foolish now with an adult mind, but then with the child mind, that's all you know. So, you know, you keep the secret, not because you want to, you keep it because you've been groomed to. You keep it because somebody brainwashed you to. Now, my mom, again, she was living in her own pain, in her own abuses, and she wasn't capable to be able to be the person that would support me. I knew she loved me, but she wasn't able to support me or help me at that time in my life.
Yeah. And sometimes we just miss things because we're not paying attention. Because like you said, you know, she was in her own pain. She's trying to deal with that and is not equipped to even think about or deal with someone else's pain.
That's right. And I think that the years that I was abused and molested and taken advantage of, society was a bit different. You know, there wasn't a cell phone everywhere. There wasn't a video camera. There wasn't all kinds of videos being sent. So things like this stayed behind closed doors. And many families didn't talk about it. You know, my mom came from a generation that if you didn't talk about it, it didn't happen. And a lot of people came from that generation. But today, there's so much advocacy, support, and awareness. We know the signs. But back then, I'm going to age myself. It happened between 1977 and 1984. So it's a totally different time now. There's so much support, so much awareness, so many people there to help those that have been victimized. In the time that I was being hurt, there wasn't things like that. So I think that's the difference, a little bit of the difference that is that today has.
And I think some people are under misconception that these things don't happen to boys as often as it happens to girls. But that's not necessarily true, is it?
That's not true at all. I was abused not only by my mother's husband, but I was abused by a handful of men. One thing my abuser would do would sell me, I'm sure, for drugs, alcohol, whatever he deemed valuable. But again, so I was molested, unfortunately, by many men that would come in and abuse my body. So abuse is that. It's about power. It's about control. It's evil. It's ugly. And it happens to women and men.
Yeah, absolutely. And what are some things that you feel like people should look for if they are having questions or, you know, if they're missing the signs? What are some things that you think that are red flags?
Sure. I think when somebody withdraws, you know, a parent should know their child. Are they outgoing? Are they inward? You know, when they change, for me, I never wanted to be home. You know, I wanted to be outside the house all the time. It's somebody else's house. I was withdrawn. I was very guarded. I was very protected. A lot of people ask me how I felt back then. And again, I felt the way everybody else felt. I felt angry, sad. I wanted revenge. I wanted to stop. But probably how I felt mostly was numb. I was just numb because, again, I was a child, 7 years old, did not know that kind of touch, did not know that kind of evilness. And it was put upon me. I remember the crackle of the threshold. I remember the breath of my abuser. I remember the lies, the weight of him putting on my body and holding me down and saying, don't tell, they'll take you away. Don't tell, everybody will blame you. And when you're given those thoughts, you tend to say, how do I protect myself? So again, withdrawing, abuse, I've wrestled with food my whole life. I've been up and down. Food has been my friend and my enemy. It's been my comfort and my support. So, there's a lot of red flags that I think we look toward today. We thank God that we have those advocacies, that groups that help us find those awareness, that gives us the awareness of that type of thing.
Yeah. And you mentioned about food. I think a lot of people don't understand when someone is going through abuse of some sort, it can show up in different ways. They may think, oh, you're just putting on a little extra weight, or you're doing this, you're just acting out. But those should be clear signs to people, hey, something is going on inside the child. It may not be abuse, but it's definitely something that is happening inside.
That's right. That's right. You know, for me, again, food was something and still is. I wrestle with it. Still is my, when I'm sad, it's my comfort. And when I'm happy, it's my reward. So, I'm not very strong, but I have to give it to the Lord and get victory in that my life. And I have, not as much as I want, but there's victory. Yeah. More than I've ever had ever.
Yeah. And sometimes there are things that are present with us, like Paul says, that keep us strong, keep us going to God over and over again so that we can keep that constant communication. And through his grace, we'll make it through. So let's talk about your transformation. So you went from that abusive situation, you told a family member, and now you said years later.
3 years later, I was invited to church. I had no kind of church background. I knew God was in heaven and be a good person. That's all I kind of knew. I got invited to a charismatic, evangelical, Pentecostal, raise your hands, guitar, dancing in the aisles kind of church. And I didn't know what it was like. I said, I don't know any of this stuff. All my friends were Roman Catholics. And, you know, so we didn't have any of that kind of expression. And that night I went to a youth group and I met a group of people that supported me, that were, you know, it was the 80s. We all had mullets. It was the rule. You know, it's just what had to happen. So, you know, I just kind of found a community and I found a group of peers that would really kind of show me God's love. A few days later, they'd invite me to go with them to go climb a mountain, which I love to do. I still climb them today. They invited me to go with them on the way home from climbing that mountain. I was tired. I didn't know which way was up. But a young man asked me if I wanted to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. And I said the sinner's prayer. I probably didn't even know the depth of that prayer I was saying at that time. I just wanted the peace that God could give. And I have it. And I wish I could say it was in an instant, but it was a journey for me. It was a big journey. I had to deal with the demons in my past. I had to deal with the insecurities, the fears, the anger, the pain, the lies that echoed in my head. years after the abuse ended, years after my body was no longer ravished, the lies of my abuser still echoed in my soul and my spirit. So the journey I went on, it was every day. I was the one that Christ left the 99 for sometimes. I wanted to throw in the towel, but the altar brought me to the next altar. And that's today why I can say I've been able to forgive those who trespassed against me, because I've been able to trust in the Lord and ask the Lord to help me.
Amen to that. So then you wrote a book.
I did. You know, after 30 years, again, I want to make it very clear. It wasn't a one moment prayer. It wasn't one particular service. It wasn't one altar call. It was constant. It was ups and downs, lefts and rights, a lot of tears, a lot of struggling, sometimes saying, no way, God. And then eventually saying, okay, have your way, God.
Yeah.
And you know, so I come to a journey a couple of years ago. My mom passed. It brought it all back up. And the Lord said, have you really given it to me? And that's the journey where my book, Forgiving the Nightmare, came out of, that question. Have you really given it to me? And I wanted to write to people to say, hey, I'm a pastor. I know the power of God, but I know the journey of forgiveness. Wow. I know how hard it is to forgive those who trespass. And that, so you have to really get into what is forgiveness, right? Is forgive, and forget? I don't think it is. How could we ever forget? Forgiveness mean we never want justice? Of course. Does forgiveness mean that I don't expect that I've let my abuser off the hook? None of those things are a part of forgiveness. Forgiveness to me means I've given it to God, and God is a righteous and just God.
Amen to that. You're good. What else can people find in that book?
Well, you hear about the journey, and that's the first thing. You hear about how much the abuse stole from me. And I think for those that have been abused, they will recognize the similarities, even though the abuse may have happened in many ways. No matter what your trauma is, mine was abuse. There's many kinds of people have lost loved ones, sickness, disease, addictions. But no matter what somebody's walked through, the enemy loves to use that to become our identity. And for a long time, the abuse was all I knew. It was my identity. It kind of trapped me. It shackled me, if you would. It held me down. But in the book, I explain how through trusting God, through prayer, by having counselors, friends, coaches, and support, that all these things would eventually, God would bring me to a place where I could confess. It doesn't mean I still don't remember. It doesn't mean I still don't have my triggers. It doesn't mean that it's always an easy day. What happened is, in my life, the mountain that cast and shadow everything was the abuse. And for me to give it to God meant God had to become bigger than all the pain. And it's a journey every day that, even though the abuse was so huge and affected everything I did, God became bigger. We magnify the Lord, and God became greater than even the mountain of abuse. And I don't say that half-heartedly. I don't say that just with a wink and a smile. I say that because I know how big that mountain of abuse is. I know how much pound of flesh was taken and my spirit was robbed, but God is bigger, and trusting in him has helped me forgive my nightmare.
Amen. That's the key. God has to become bigger than it all, but it's not an overnight.
It's not. I wish it was. I wish I could tell you that I went to the church, threw $2 in the plate, said a prayer, and went home. You know, it wasn't that way. Not that way at all. It was a lot of learning to die to self, being honest with God. Boy, I shook my fist to heaven more than once. I said, God, I can't do that. You know, I'll never forget when God told me to move the mountain. I said, God, I can't move this mountain. He said, Mark, let's go move a pebble. Let's go move a stone. Let's go move a rock. Let's go move a boulder. Let's go move a hill. And then, you know, finally would say, let's go move that mountain. And I said, God, how can I do it? He said, how'd you move the pebble? I said, You were with me. And I'm going to be with you to move this. It wasn't easy. It wasn't simple. And there was a lot of tears on that journey, but also a lot of grace and love and mercy to be able to forgive. And again, forgiveness doesn't mean I don't remember. Forgiveness doesn't mean I don't seek justice. Forgiveness doesn't mean I don't have my healthy boundaries. Forgiveness doesn't mean that I now have kumbaya moments with those that abuse me. No, it means I've given it to God, and I trust he is bigger and he is greater than all the pain that once tried to steal from me.
Yeah, amen to that. And please mention the book's title so people can know the name of
it. Sure. The book's title is called Forgiving the Nightmare.
The same as his ministry. So right. You'll know what to pick up. Now, Pastor Mark, what's next for you?
Well, we got a couple of things, a couple irons in the fire, as they say. We're able to do a handful of podcasts like we're doing now. We're also working with CTN, Christian Television Network, and developing some kind of show or program about Forgiving the Nightmare. Of course, I'm speaking at some conferences, but I'm a local pastor. And I like pastor, and I do the weddings, the funerals. I do the Sunday morning services. So that's what I do, and that's who we are.
Amen. Now, tell people how they can connect with you and your book.
Sure. If people want to find me, they can find me at forgivingthenightmare.com. Forgivingthenightmare.com. There you can find my emails, see some videos, check out my ugly mug, everything in between. But if you want to order a book, you can go to Amazon and look up Forgiving the Nightmare. That's probably the easiest and best way. Amazon, Forgiving the Nightmare, and you can purchase it there.
Yeah. Thank you so much. As we wrap up your interview today, out of everything that you said, what is the one thing that you want people to take away from what you said and implement it in their life?
Well, the first thing I say is no matter what you've been through, no matter what your trauma is, mine was abuse, and I know there's so many others, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. The enemy would love for you to believe you're the only one that's walked through that pain, that addiction, that sorrow, that hurt, but you're not alone. There are many people who have been where you've been, and they want to support you. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have all the answers. Just call out the name of God. His love, His mercy will reach out to you. You're not alone. People are there to lift up your hands, to love you through it, to cry with you, and to give you words of wisdom. Because there's victory, even though there's been abuses. You don't have to be that person that the abuser called you. You can be a child of God.
Amen. CWS audience, you have heard him. You are not alone. And if you have experienced this yourself, and whether you're in the church or not, go and talk to someone. God wants you to have victory. He wants you to have healing. And then he wants to turn around and use that so that you can help other people. Thank you so much for listening and watching today's episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.